The scripture reading is from Mark 10:46-52. In the New Revised Standard Version, you may follow along in your own Bible, Bible app, or on page 823 in the Pew Bible. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on his way. May God bless the reading and hearing of his holy word.
Good morning. I'm not like John. I need something to look at. I'm so pleased this morning that I get to be up here with our young people as they lead our congregation in worship. We have so many gifted and talented individuals in our congregation, but our young people are so special to me, and they're willing to serve not only our church body inside these walls, but those outside as well. And I hope that you'll take the opportunity to get to know them, shake their hands, learn their names and their stories, and hopefully you'll share yours with them as well, because I know that you're both going to be blessed through that relationship. When I'm ever asked to preach, it's always with a certain amount of reservation. I love leading people in groups, teaching our young people on Wednesday night or confirmation or Sunday school, but finding my own voice to preach can often be intimidating. John and I talked about what the focus of this morning should be and decided that he should continue his series in the Ten Commandments, which left me then with what to preach about. Did you know there are 31,102 verses to choose from in the scriptures? That's a little bit intimidating. We as a family even struggle to figure out where to eat after church on Sunday, so let alone to preach from. In order not to be overwhelmed, I went to the lectionary. This is a place where churches go to that they have scriptures that you can read each Sunday, all broken down throughout the year, that thousands of churches use every year or every Sunday, and that's where I found our story that we're going to walk through this morning. It's a powerful story. It's 7 short verses, but it grabbed my heart and it grabbed my attention because of all the layers we can find as we listen. So won't you come with me and let's read and put ourselves into the story of Bartimaeus this morning. I know that Jeffrey just read it. He did a great job this morning, but I want us to enter into the story as an imaginative listener. Those who are my current confirmation students, and some a few years back, my past confirmands, you should know what I'm talking about. But for the rest of you, I'm going to ask you and teach you how to do that this morning. Each Tuesday night, we ask our confirmation students to listen to the story, to hear it in their minds and in their hearts, to imagine that they themselves are a participant in the story, to pay attention to how they feel and react, and hopefully, ultimately, better understand what God is doing in and through his people. So let's begin this little experiment together. So the first thing I want you to do is to help you slow down and to refocus yourself for a moment. Because if you're like me, you came in here, there's a lot of things that are crowding your mind and your heart, and your mind might have wandered the first time you heard Jeffrey read it to you this morning. So I want to ask you to close your eyes for a moment. Now, this may make some of you uncomfortable, I know, but close your eyes for a moment and don't fall asleep. Now what I want you to do is, in the quiet of your heart, ask God to reveal himself to you through the hearing again. They spent some time in Jericho, and as Jesus was leaving town, trailed by his disciples and a parade of people, a blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting alongside the road. When he heard that Jesus the Nazarene was passing by, he began to cry out, "Son of David, Jesus, mercy, have mercy on me." Now many tried to hush him up, but he yelled all the louder, "Son of David, mercy, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped in his tracks. "Call him over." They called him. "It's your lucky day. Get up. He's calling you to come." And throwing off his cloak, he was on his feet at once and came to Jesus. And Jesus said, "What can I do for you?" The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "On your way," said Jesus, "your faith has saved and healed you." In that very instant, he recovered his sight and followed Jesus down the road. You can open your eyes. Now, if we were in confirmation class, we would start with two questions. What did you notice in the story, or what stood out to you for the first time? And we'd share our observations together. But we can't do that now, so my hope is that I get to lead you on that journey together. If you did find something that jumped out to you that you really want to remember, write that down in your sermon notes. God may be picking away at something and wants you to remember that. One of the things that's critical to any story is the setting of a story, which for us, we're told, is the city of Jericho. Now, Jericho was in the midst of a fertile and well-watered country, and it was about 15 miles from Jerusalem, the holy city. Now, in Jesus' day, it was one of the most important cities next to Jerusalem. Because of that close proximity, many of the 20,000 priests that served in the temple lived in Jericho on the days that they were not serving. We know that the streets would have been crowded with people cheering on those going to their own pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the Passover. Not to mention just the everyday affairs of people accomplishing their tasks in the city. From the text, we know that Jesus is traveling with his disciples and a large crowd as he moves on his final journey to Jerusalem. I don't know about you, but I can imagine the crowded and noisy streets. All of the voices that are going about and happening because of the tasks of people feeding their families, purchasing food at the market. The voices of those trying to draw people in to make a sale. The smells of probably the animals and the people and the food at the market. The amount of people in the city was probably present along the roads at this time was probably overwhelming. And even as Jesus walked along with his band of travelers, I imagine them kind of pressing in and leaning in towards Jesus. I can see the expectation and eagerness on their faces as they await Jesus' responses. I wonder if Jesus is leading the way or is he surrounded by his crowd? Based on what happens next, I see him in the middle of the group. He's walking, he's talking, he's enjoying the company of those around him. And out of nowhere, a blind beggar, Bartimaeus, encounters Jesus' parade as they're making their way out of the city. We see Bartimaeus sitting on the side of the road. He's begging, probably in his usual place, a place where people would have often passed him by. He would have chosen that place because that would have been the place where he would have gotten the most money or assistance. He hears the news of the day from his place, both inside and outside of the city. Now, Bartimaeus probably had to rely on the kindness of others to help him navigate and survive daily. He was used to people not seeing him, turning the other way, passing him by because he was at the bottom of the social ladder. I think if I were him, I would have longed for some different reality than the one that I was living in. Which is why I imagine that when he heard the stirrings of the crowd that Jesus was near, hope began to stir in his soul. Now remember, because of the kind of city Jericho is, he would have heard all of the amazing stories that came through there. This was the man who could heal the lame, he could raise the dead, and heal the blind. I could almost hear Bartimaeus' inner dialogue. Maybe there was hope for him too. Please let him pass this way, and don't let anyone keep me from him. I know if only I can get to Jesus, get his attention, I might get a chance at something different. What was he to do? He couldn't walk to Jesus because of the crowds, so he used the only thing he had, his voice. We're told that he yells to get Jesus' attention. And Mark's gospel records that this thing that he yells, this phrase that he yells, it's the first time that someone uses this phrase in reference to Jesus. Son of David, have mercy. Well, what does he mean by this? This is a phrase that's used to reference the Messiah, the long-awaited deliverer, the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. Did Bartimaeus remember the prophet Isaiah's words that the Messiah would announce pardon to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and the battered free, to announce this is God's year to act? No one else in Mark's gospel has used this term to speak of Jesus. So he must have understood the stories in ways that other people had failed to see. He cried to the only one who could offer him the mercy he truly needed and desired. The crowd, though, following Jesus, instantly tried to silence him and rebuke him. And I wonder why. Did they look down on Bartimaeus? Most certainly. Did they think, how dare he? We're marching towards Jerusalem. We don't have time to be held up by the likes of you. Or maybe they were just merely annoyed by the interruption because they were the significant ones, following and listening to someone like them who was important. It might have been in their minds, that annoying little fly that buzzes in your ear, maybe we could just kind of swat him away with our rebuke and get rid of him. That's where our story takes a dramatic turn. Rather than being deterred by their insistence for him to be quiet, Bartimaeus yells even louder. He is no longer content to sit on the side of the road, a beggar, unrecognized, and insignificant. It's at this point that Jesus hears him, and he stops the procession. The message that I read to you says, stopped in his tracks. Jesus, who was walking through the last few weeks of his earthly life, heard the cry of the one he came to save. His ministry wasn't over, and so he turned to those around him to call Bartimaeus to him. What? What was Jesus doing? He's asking them to help. I wonder if there was a moment of profound silence while Jesus waited for them to understand what he had just asked them to do. Instead of walking to Bartimaeus himself, Jesus in his wisdom is now asking those who tried to silence him to come to him now and participate in Bartimaeus's healing. With those two simple words, call him, all those around Jesus, they too now had an opportunity to be changed. And again, in that instance, the scene changes. They begin to speak kindly all of a sudden to Bartimaeus and tell him, it's your lucky day, get up, he's yelling, he's calling for you to come. So what does Bartimaeus do? Does he slowly rise in hesitation, unsure of what he wants now? Does he fold up his cloak, his one true possession, and ask someone, hey, could you watch this for me until I come back? No. He throws off his cloak, and he jumps to his feet, and he comes to Jesus. I get chills thinking about this blind beggar jumping up, throwing aside his cloak, his one possession, to walk to Jesus. I wish that Bartimaeus could have seen what I imagine was a look of love and compassion and understanding awaiting him in Jesus' face. To understand the look of the only one who had ever truly seen him. Then Jesus does something, again, that doesn't seem to make sense. Rather than just healing him outright, he asks Bartimaeus, "What do you want?" Now we know Jesus sees Bartimaeus and knows Bartimaeus' most obvious need, so why doesn't he just do what he's done before? Why doesn't he just lay hands on Bartimaeus and then continue with the others on this really important journey? Because we know that Jesus is a good pastor and a good teacher. He knows that we often need to express out loud what we want so we can truly accept our own need and the answer when it's given to us. Bartimaeus does not hesitate, and from his heart, he asks the teacher and the master for his sight. I believe from that moment that Bartimaeus began yelling for Jesus' attention and mercy, that the hope had become so overwhelming in his heart that when he acted on it, he believed he would get what he asked for. Jesus doesn't even have to touch him or speak words of healing, but rather tells him to go on his way because his faith has saved and healed him. Mark's record of this instantaneous healing because of Bartimaeus' faith will be a stark contrast to the religious leaders Jesus will very soon encounter in his week in Jerusalem. Those who will cry out for his death because of their spiritual blindness. I wonder what the reaction of the crowd was watching this scene play out. Did they feel remorse for trying to stop Bartimaeus? Did they quickly forget that they were the stumbling block for someone coming to Jesus? We're also told that Bartimaeus follows Jesus down the road. I wonder what those conversations were like. Were they, now that Bartimaeus was with them, was there singing? Was it loud? Did the conversation get more joyous? Or was there silence in the amazement? Did Bartimaeus become a disciple of Jesus, or did he merely travel to Jerusalem, go on his way, physically healed, but spiritually blind? Or do we believe because of his earlier exclamation of Jesus that he understood who Jesus was from the beginning, and now he has an even greater story to tell others of the way Jesus has changed his life? As we walk through the story together, where did you find yourself? I find myself, I know, just asking more questions because of all of the different voices. Were you in the crowd? Did you recognize yourself as you tried to silence the voice of someone who was trying to reach out to God? Did you place barriers, rules, hoops to jump through in order for people to come to faith in God? Does he or she not meet your expectations of how a follower should act? Is someone interrupting your agenda with Jesus? Is God trying to remind you that you're to be a part of someone's healing and you're trying to ignore it? Is God trying to get your attention, to call you to help someone? Do you sense his call for you to stop what you're doing, even though it may be a very worthy endeavor, and notice someone who needs healing like he was willing to do? Or were you Bartimaeus? Were you the blind beggar sitting by the side of the road just waiting to be noticed? Do you feel like how, no matter how loud you scream, no one notices? Are people trying to silence and rebuke you for your cry for mercy? Maybe even well-intentioned ones. Will you continue to have Bartimaeus' faith and cry even louder so that your voice can be heard above all of the others? When God asks you what you want, are you ready to answer? And are you ready to answer honestly, to know the truth of what you really need from him in order to be free? Will you walk the road with Jesus? Or will you turn away after he's answered your prayer and go back to living as if you're blind? Or maybe you need to be more like Jesus and follow his example towards others. To have ears attentive to cries for mercy in the midst of voices that try to drown them out. Are you willing to stop and be inconvenienced by the needs of others? Will you make time to hear another person's story in order to truly understand what they need and desire? Can you be the answer to someone's prayer who's crying out to God for healing? How can so many questions come from seven short verses? That's the beauty of Scripture. And that's the power of Bartimaeus' story that Mark records for us. As we close our time together, I want you to consider whether or not you will walk away changed or still living in blindness. Will you be silenced by the voices in our culture, your own insecurities, or those around you who are trying to keep you in spiritual darkness? Bartimaeus wasn't afraid to throw off the cloak of his own life, stumble towards Jesus, and ask God to change him. I imagine God asking us, "What do you want me to do for you?" Are you willing to ask in hopeful anticipation for the great work that God is desiring to do in your life today? Will you have the courage to ask God to allow you to see the truth of your own blindness, even though it might hurt you for a moment? Take courage. We serve a master who walked to Jerusalem, faced the death of the cross, in order for us to live a resurrected life. Will you be like Bartimaeus and be unafraid to raise your voice? Because God is calling each of us to throw off our cloaks, come to Jesus, and allow him to get rid of whatever blinders we're facing in order to experience the freedom that can only be found in him. Would you join me in prayer? Oh, gracious God, we pray this morning as we have heard the story of Bartimaeus' faith that we too would be stirred to action, to come to you with longing and eager anticipation of what you will do in our life. We would ask that you would reveal to us where we need to make changes, and then grant us the Holy Spirit's power and the courage to do so. Help us to look towards the needs of others rather than just see them as a nuisance and an inconvenience. May we step out in faith and help those like you did who need it the most, for the glory of your kingdom and your honor. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.